Would you make your way over to the book of Numbers 21? The topic of COVID-19 continues to be a big point of our discussions. Every single nation is involved. There's not one ethnic group, religious group that's exempt. So here we are with perhaps the most stunning occurrence that planet Earth has ever experienced. Is there a model of God using a biological agent to grab the attention, literally the focus of the people of God? And suddenly in my mind, Numbers 21 popped up. The snakes. Remember the fiery serpents? I want to share with you some interesting sort of musings. The book of Numbers, especially chapters 1 through 20, is the 40-year history of God's people under Moses. Really, from the exodus of Egypt to when Moses hands off the car keys, so to speak, to Joshua. Numbers, chapters 1 through 20, is about that 40-year history. And by the time you arrive here at chapter 21, some fascinating details, they're in the plains of Midian. And they are literally within sight of Jericho. Numbers 21, verse number 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged along the way. And then the people started to speak against God and his pastor, his shepherd. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? This is 40 years after they said it the first time. They're still going there. It's hard, they're saying. And look what you've done, Moses. You did this to us. Oh my, the Christian walk is not easy. And if anybody ever says, believe Jesus, say the sinner's prayer, and it's good from here, well, they're not telling you the truth, and they're likely trying to sell you something. You brought us out here to die in the wilderness because there's no food. Wait a minute. What are they eating every single day? Manna. God has provided them with plenty of sustenance. Deuteronomy 8, right around verse 4, says, in their entire 40-year sojourn, their feet didn't swell. Well, what does that mean? Well, number one, their shoes never wore out. That's kind of miraculous. But back to the no feet swelling. A doctor might look at that and say, these are well-nourished people. When our diet isn't correct, we're eating too much of one thing or not enough of another, that's one of the symptoms that may tell the physician something's not right. Your feet are swelling. It's an edema of some kind. Their feet didn't swell. Read that. Their diet was perfect. Manna. By the way, the word manna means, well, what is it? That's what the people called it. God never called the bread that he allowed to grow on the ground manna. He never did. He referred to it as bread. We can see Jericho across the Jordan River. Let's go, let's go. God is saying, nope, look what you're doing here. You're complaining. In other words, you're not ready. What do you mean not ready? Man, we can't wait to get to the land flowing with milk and honey. God knows better. Look at you. You're complaining. You're not ready. Yes, we are. No, you're not. We are ready, Lord. No. In fact, there's something else coming. There is a strong, devilish deception on its way by the name of Balaam. In Numbers chapter 22 through chapter 25, you have this interesting encounter with this fellow by the name of Balaam. By the way, Balaam's name means not of my people. Balaam is such an interesting fella in that he is spiritually quite astute. He has some spiritual sort of resume enough that his name was widely distributed in the region. And when King Balak looks across and sees the people of God, he's like, oh no, look at them, they're coming. Because of Balaam's reputation, goes and hires Balaam, and it's Balaam's donkey that saves Balaam from a flaming sword of an angel. Well, Balaam has glimpses of supernatural insight and power so significant that some of the uninitiated might even believe that maybe Balaam is a God guy. Answer, no, he is not. Not even close. In fact, when Balaam dies, he dies among the enemies of Israel fighting against God's people. In the book of 2 Peter, look out for the way of Balaam. In Jude, the error of Balaam. And then in Revelation chapter 2, in the letter to the church at Pergamos, where Satan dwells, very likely Lucifer's college of the occult began on the plains of Shinar under Nimrod in Babylon, has been picked up and moved to this actual location of Pergamum. And to that church where Satan's throne is, there again, Balaam is mentioned. Let me try to put it together for you. God's people are so close to the promised land, but before they can get there, God knows that God's people are grumbling against the manna, if you will, the word of God and the provision of the Lord. And God says, there is a great man of deception coming, and you are not ready, my people. What's God going to do to get them ready? He is going to send among them a biological beastie. The snakes. If it's very, very, very important, there's a model for it in the Old Testament. The rapture of the church, lots of models. The Antichrist, several models. COVID-19, a model in the Old Testament. There is no food or water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Can you see along with me? Wait a minute. That's God's provision. Their feet weren't swelling. This nutrition is everything you need and you hate it. Jesus glasses on. There's going to come a famine in the land before the Antichrist shows up. There's going to be a famine of God's word. The Laodicean church is full of activity, clamoring and commotion. But Jesus is not even in there. He's on the outside knocking to get in. Lots of people traveling with Moses. Lots and lots of people are basically, woohoo, we got the glory, the Shekinah glory. But they're just lip service. Because when the merest breath of adversity touches their life, they complain against Moses and against God. And they hate his systematic teaching, verse by verse, of doctrine. So, verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They're on their way to the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, but there's two things in the way. There's going to be a beast there, and he's going to have 7 heads and 10 horns. Yeshua, Jesus, will battle him. But in front of that, there's going to come a man who will deceive God's people. He's in the form of Balaam here, but is he a model? And before even the Antichrist shows up, God's people, here literally the Jews, but God's people perhaps enlarged today, there is also a beastie coming. 7 heads and 10 horns, the Antichrist. And God's people are not ready. Why? Because they're tired of the manna. Give us something flashy. Give us something that's way more delicious than the boring drone of some talking head teaching doctrine. And when we set aside doctrine, do you see along with me that that opens us up potentially to a great deception? Balaam is coming. In fact, I've got a verse here for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth, the gospel, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them, who? The people who have discarded God's word, as they follow every other sort of focus. Just like the people of Moses traveling with the deliverer, Moses, lots of people tired of the manna, lots of people, they see the glory, the Shekinah, and they're going to the tabernacle as ever before, but they are not enduring sound manna. God says, the only thing that wakes up such a heart is that I have to send them a strong delusion. And those who don't focus on the real Jesus Christ will be deceived and consumed. Consumed by what? Consumed by the beastie. Back to Numbers chapter 21, verse 6. So the Lord sent a biological agency, serpents, among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord, please, Moses, that he may take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And then the Lord said to Moses, now make a brazen or fiery serpent and set it on a pole. What's a pole typically made of? Wood. By the way, when did sin first show up in God's perfect creation? Well, it showed up in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. In the form of what? Form of a serpent. It was the serpent who opened the door for sin. Why a serpent on a pole? The serpent is a model for sin. Sin on a tree looks like this. The cross. Moses, make up or make a casting of a serpent, a brass serpent. Brass, the metallurgy of fire. Sin judged, if you will. And put it up on a pole, a wooden pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at, focuses on, shall live. Write in your margin, Isaiah 45, 22. Look at me, says the Lord, and be saved, all you, to the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. So Moses made a bronze serpent, he put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, how could just looking at something tell the venom, don't stop my heart? Because it's supernatural, because it's a model. Anyone who looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Who is Asclepius? It's a weird spelling, capital A-E. S-C-L-E-P-I-U-S, Asclepius. He was a demigod. His father was Apollos. His mother was a human gal by the name of Cronos. He becomes known for the Greek god of medicine and the healing arts. He has a family. His daughters are Hygieia, from where we'll get our word hygiene. Then he had another daughter, Lasso. She's the goddess of recuperation. Asos, she's the goddess of the healing process. Agil, the goddess of good health. Panacea, the goddess of universal remedy. And of course, he had several sons. Let me read to you out of a history book, quote, from the 5th century BC onward, the cult of Asclepius grew very popular, and pilgrims flocked to to his healing temples called Asclepia to be cured of their ills. Ritual purification would be followed by offerings and sacrifices and the gifts of money. In some locations, Asclepius became also the god of commerce. The supplicant would then spend the night in the holiest part of the temple. In the morning, he would report any dreams or visions, often inspired by pharmakia or mind-altering substances. Yeah, you might have a crazy dream or two. What would you dream about? I dreamed about, we all live in the yellow submarine. Any dreams or visions would be reported to the priest, who would prescribe the appropriate therapy. Some healing temples also use sacred dogs to lick the wounds of sick petitioners. In honor of Asclepius, a particular type of non-venomous snake was often used in healing rituals. And these snakes, called Asclepian snakes, slithered around the temples freely on the floor and in the dormitories where the sick and injured slept. So, anybody seen this? This is the symbol of the American Medical Association. Why are there snakes on a pole? It's a nod to Asclepius. Notice there are two. Moses, of course, was just the one. The American Medical Association says, we can fix it. Look to us. Or the World Health Organization, here is their model. It is the entire world in the midst of an olive branch for peace. And there's the serpent on the pole. That is not a reference to Numbers 21. Founded in 1948, by the way, we'll let you prophecy buffs run with that one. COVID-19. Is there a model in the Old Testament? Perhaps. What's the model? Tremendous deceiver in the form of Balaam coming. And God's people are not ready, many of them. Why? Because they're tired of the manna. Please, please, read and study your Bible. If COVID-19 is modeled in the Old Testament, at least in part, by Numbers 21, oh my, do you realize how close we are to getting out of here? It's time that we tell everybody we know about the soon return of Jesus Christ. Because it's going to get crazy. Where will people focus? Harvest family, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who was lifted up in the wilderness. He is the one who defeated the fear of the biological beasties to prepare God's people for the next chapter. Numbers 21 is the last portion of the people of God's sojourn through Sinai. And within sight of the first of 10 important conquests, Jericho, God says, you're not ready. Balaam's coming. I got to get you ready. And truth be known, you say you love me. You're traveling with me in the form of Moses, and you go to church all the time. You wouldn't say it out loud, but truth be known, you hate the manna. You don't like it. It's not sexy enough for you. It's not cool enough. Point me to a small group. Point me to a kicking worship service where the tears are flowing and the band is moving and all of my sensual receptors are a tingle. And it feels so good. Oh, the Proverbs say, be careful. There's a way that feels good, but the end thereof is destruction. Harvest, I believe with all of my heart and soul that we are very close to the return of Jesus Christ. And the biological beasties that the Lord has allowed among not only his people, but around the entire planet, is one grand exercise in who will you focus on? Which serpent on a pole. The AMA, the WHO, or as Jesus told Nicodemus, me. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I pray in Jesus' name that all of us go away mindful of this powerful, powerful model in the Old Testament. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen.